listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. I am Tim Rocky here with all your sports numbers news, some jazz and blues. We're going to be right back with hopefully an interview and, of course, sports numbers news and nonsense right here on the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene, 89.5 FM.
You walk around in other towns. I've seen you out just hanging around. It's what you chose, and I suppose you'll meet me one day. Meet me one day. You throw away every other dream, taking over, baby, to the dollar machine. That party dress is such a mess. You'll meet me one day. Meet me one day soon.
How's everybody doing? It is a bluesy Tuesday, and especially bluesy Tuesday here in Palmer, Alaska. Got out and enjoyed working in the sun all day. We've got some sports numbers, news, nonsense. We've got NBA playoffs. We call it the NBA at this time of year. We've got some baseball to talk about. I will try to talk about hockey. I will fail. Russell Westbrook officially became the all-time leader in season triple-doubles when he got his 42nd. He averaged a triple-double. He currently is losing to the Houston Rockets in the Western Conference opening series of the the 3-6 seed right now. So, Russell Westbrook is a freak. James Harden, the beard, is also a freak. The Eastern Conference playoffs are not exactly going as planned. The NBA is a mess right now. The Golden State Warriors thought they were going to be facing a challenge from the Chicago Bulls, or pardon me, it's Eastern Conference. The Golden State Warriors thought they were going to be facing a challenge from the Portland Trailblazers, whose point guard Damian Lillard so proclaimed that they were going to take down the defending Western Conference champions in 6 games. Now, the first game was interesting for about 3 quarters. That faded rather quickly. The other 1-8 matchup in the Eastern Conference did go the way of the upset. The Bulls defeated the Boston Celtics, who were playing with a grief-stricken Isaiah Thomas. Some are saying that Isaiah Thomas is in the conversation for MVP. He's the Celtics' best player at 5'9". They really have a cast of nobodies around him who aren't really nobodies. They're just excellent role players. But most of these NBA teams are featuring one, if not two, if not three, fantastic stratospheric superstars. And Isaiah Thomas is just now even rising to being in that conversation. So he, the one leading the playoff team, is not necessarily something you would expect. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Going to be right back with baseball, basketball, for all football, anything you want, because you know what it is. It's the Radio Free Palm Sports Scene here on 89.5 FM.
Little black submarines operator, please put me back on the line. Told my girl I'd be back, operator, please. This is wrecking my mind. Oh, can it be? The voice is calling me. They get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broken heart is blind, pick you up, let you down, when I wanna go to a place I can hide. You know me, I had plans, but they just disappear to the back of my mind. Oh, can it be? The voice is calling me. They get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows.
How you doing, Chief?
I'm doing great. How about you, Tim?
I'm doing well, man. Enjoyed my day in the sun. Now I get to talk some sports. All is well in my world. So your Yankees unfortunately did some beating up on my St. Louis Cardinals recently.
They did. Yeah. I believe it was a sweep.
Yeah. Sure. How does that make you feel, getting to see the Yankees take on, you know, the magnanimous world-beating team like the Cardinals and actually come away with a victory for once?
Yeah, it was pretty great. It was excellent. They've been on quite a tear lately. I think they won 8 straight. I just heard that they lost today, though, unfortunately.
They did lose to the White Sox, 4-1.
They did, which is unfortunate. I've been really excited about all the new guys, how they've been performing on their team. Aaron Judge, in particular, has been pretty impressive. He's been hitting balls, you know, coming off the bat at like, you know, 116 miles an hour. It's not too hard to get excited about a guy like that. So.
Power is definitely something that even the average baseball fan can be excited about. So talk to me about the state of the Yankees. You know, they had that run in the late 90s where they've got all these guys that came up through their farm system and then had that great run establishing their longevity and dominance throughout the American League. And since then, they kind of tried to buy their way into a championship with guys like Teixeira and Ellsbury and A-Rod. And they've definitely taken the long and slow road back toward trying to become the Bronx Bombers, the version of the Yankees that everyone is used to, but doing it the right way with all of those draft picks. Talk to me about what it's like to see the Yankees, you know, go with the slow play as opposed to just picking up the best free agent every offseason.
Yeah, I really like the approach they've taken recently. It definitely got to be a little obscene the way they just kind of bought everybody. Like they bought like Carlos Beltran and all these guys that are kind of, you know, past their prime, but will still hit like 25 to 30 home runs. And it just got to be this, you could never really tell who was going to be a Yankee and who wasn't. There was just so much turnover. So it's been really great to see a guy like, you know, Brett Gardner come up, and he came all the way up through the farm system, and he's just a really great, just all around baseball player, and getting to see him perform in the big leagues is really great. And all these young guys coming up, I feel like it just really has, like, it's really renewed my excitement in being a Yankees fan, and I think you could probably say the same for a lot of other Yankees fans in that respect.
So switching gears, a player who was a Yankee for a brief period of time in 2012, again in 2013 and 14, Ichiro Suzuki. So Ichiro Suzuki is at the spry young age of 43, still platooning in the Marlins outfield. And I read a piece recently where he says he thinks he can play baseball until he's about 55 years old, another 10 or 12 years, where there will be young hitters whose career comes and goes, and Ichiro is still out there slapping singles past the second baseman. What, as a young baseball player, inspired you by Ichiro, and now that we are, old farts in the coaching game at this point, is our last resort. What about Ichiro is so impressive over his body of work just in Major League Baseball? Because we know that he had those 8 seasons in Japan that we were not privy to. We did not follow Ichiro Suzuki when he was playing in the Japanese League. But what about his time playing baseball in the United States sticks out to you?
Yeah, he's really one of a kind. I've had the privilege of getting to watch him play a few times live, and he just really, his discipline is just incredible. He just knows exactly what he wants when he goes up to an at bat. He knows what he's going to get, and he really doesn't, the thing that makes him so great is he just really doesn't try and do a whole lot with it. He's not trying to hit home runs. He's just trying to get on base. He's trying to hit those little soft little singles to the outfield, and he's just really, you can tell he's just put in the work, and he's you know, worked years and years to get that very specific swing for those very specific kinds of hits. And he's just an incredibly smart baseball player, and obviously he takes very good care of himself, and I would not be surprised to see him still playing in 10 years. He's one of those guys that could do that, to be the next Satchel Paige of baseball.
So we're gonna just keep in this kind of mosaic of baseball. We're gonna get little pieces from here and there. We're not gonna have any theme to what's going on with our baseball coverage. So the last time you were on the show, which was a blast and a half, you did not get a chance to listen to the show last week. Taylor and I discussed things of the froth nature. We talked about the wonderful Debbie Palmer. It was a great show. If you are so inclined...
That's because it was a rager of a show.
Yeah. Oh, rager is the perfect word to describe it. If you are so inclined to want to listen to my show after you're done listening to my show, it can be found on RadioFreePalmer.org under the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene tab. So we're going to shift gears to the Minnesota Twins. I'm looking at this roster, and the name that sticks out to me at this point is Joe Mauer. You were a catcher for a long time, a fantastic defensive catcher, and Joe Mauer is kind of the, you know, who everybody wants their catcher to be, and a fantastic offensive weapon who can throw hitters out and can command a pitching staff from behind the plate, as well as blocking whatever type of breaking ball goes in the dirt. But injuries really derailed Maurer's career. He's now a first baseman DH type. I don't even know if he will catch a game this year. What can you tell me about the, you know, physical stress of catching and how you would advise a young player to go about doing so? And do you think that Bryce Harper, so one of my biggest pet peeves, not the way that Bryce Harper plays the game, but I wish that guy would still catch, because he came up as kind of the LeBron James of baseball as a catcher. And when Washington drafted him, they said, you know what, you're a great catcher, but we don't care, because all we care about is home runs, so you're going to play right field. What's the contrast between Maurer and Harper, and what would you advise young catchers to do to prevent themselves from becoming a Joe Maurer?
Yeah, I agree with you that when I heard that they were moving Harper to the outfield, I was a little disappointed, only because, you know, he's going to make some really great plays in the outfield, and we've seen him do that. You know, he had a great, he doubled off a guy at first, I think last week, showing off his arm. But playing that catcher position, you would see some really incredible plays from him that you could not see from anyone else in the league right now. So I was a little sad about that, but I think that that decision just shows how grueling that position is, because it really you have a lifespan as a catcher. You can only catch for so long before your body really just really turns on you, especially your lower body. And you can tell that they really valued Harper as one of these long-term guys that's going to be the center of their team, because, you know, moving him to the outfield, you're going to add, you know, maybe 3 good years of hitting onto his career. So that was a smart move by them in that respect, but that just shows how tough that position is. And, you know, a guy like Maurer, like you said, came into the league, and when he was younger, he had a lot of athleticism, and you can just kind of see that decline as the years go by, just because catching is so hard on your knees. And especially these guys, you know, they play 162 games, and most of these catchers are catching about like 2/3 of these games, and it really takes a toll. And, you know, one of the things you don't think about a lot is that they're also throwing the ball a lot, even just throwing the ball back to the pitcher and like pickoffs and throwing down to second, like even those little like weak throws, they really add up on your arm too. So it really just puts a lot of stress on your body, and as well as your mind. You really have to be just in it every play, and you have to be, it takes a lot of mental work before games just to prepare for all these hitters, especially in the major league. It's a pretty intense position. It's very fun. It's like one of the positions where baseball knowledge and just like your passion for the game can really come through in the game. But yeah, it's a really physically tough position.
I agree with what you said, and I really wish that there was room and there was time. I wish that the Alaskan summer was longer so that all of the kids that end up playing for me, all of the young baseball players, could experience life behind the dish, and so that they get a respect for the people that do it and do it well. Because those that do it well when you're pitching, when you're playing the field, and you see it, it's a work of art, and you can appreciate it without wanting that for yourself. It's kind of like the running back of Major League Baseball. Because,
absolutely,
you know, you used to have guys like Emmitt Smith who ran for 20-plus thousand yards. They were the back every single down. They blocked. They caught passes. They ran to the edge, and they ran up the middle. And now you've got 3 or 4 different backs to run the ball, one to catch the ball, and a blocking back. And the fullback position has essentially died. And there are very, very, very few everyday catchers anymore. Almost there's one or two pitchers on just about every roster that has their own personal catcher. I remember Tim Wakefield from the Boston Red Sox, the old knuckleballer, was the first guy that I remember doing that. He was only caught by Doug Mirabelli. And John Lester now does that with, I can't remember which personal catcher he has for the Cubs, but he's not playing for the Red Sox anymore, so he doesn't matter. All right, switching gears to my team. So we picked up Dexter Fowler. He's our big bat. In the Cardinals might be in trouble if Dexter Fowler is your big bat. We have all of these wonderful young players. Matt Carpenter has been a solid hitter for some time. His defense has changed from being one of the better middle infielders in the league to now he's trying to play first base, which I'm not sure that I like that move, but we've got guys like Aledmys Diaz, Jed Jerko, Colton Wong, Stephen Piscotty, Randall Grichuk. There's talent within our youth. And when you look at the St. Louis Cardinals rotation, I see a lot of talent there. Mike Leake, who was the number one starter in Cincinnati for years. Adam Wainwright, who just passed 1,500 strikeouts. Carlos Martinez, one of the most electric starters in the league. There's definitely room for a positive baseball team there. But we are last in the National League right now. My life has gone down the tubes. The Cubs are World Series champions, and the Cardinals are in last place. What?
Couldn't get much worse.
No. Really, it's just, I'm going to walk out of the studio and it's going to start raining literally on my parade. If I'm Mike Matheny, who's a young but experienced Cardinals manager, what do I do to get these Cardinals out of the basement and into contention? I know the season is so very young, but how do I get my players motivated, these young guys, to get into the season and actually make a difference?
Yeah, the Cardinals have had an interesting year because, like you said, they're a really good paper on a team on paper. They have a lot of the keys that they need to be a good team. They have their spiritual, emotional leader in Yadier Molina, who's also the best defensive catcher in the league, hands down.
Thank
and
you.
A great bat. And they've got a lot of other really great pieces on the offense. Like you said, they have a great rotation, but they seem to be lacking the cohesion from some element. And I think they really just need that one more big bat. Like you said, Dexter Fowler, they brought him in to be a big bat like that. And I think that he will eventually get more into that role as the season goes on. But he really hasn't been that big bat so far from what I've seen. And I think, at some point in this first half of the season or the trading deadline, they really need to get that one more big guy, kind of like the Yankees picked up Matt Holliday. He's kind of been that force for them, more or less. I think they just need that one more guy to really just kind of bring it all together and allowing them to kind of have these complete games where they're not only pitching well and playing defense well, but they're also hitting well to complement all that. And it's interesting we were talking about catchers because Yadier Molina, I'm just going to go out of my way and say this, he's incredible, and it's been he's one of those guys that have been able to notice the game's been taking a physical toll on him lately. I'm sure you've noticed too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I watched him in that Yankee series, and you can tell he's not looking as comfortable back there anymore. He's not looking as spry. I think that's might be another reason for kind of the Cardinals' maybe lack of success. Is he's you can tell he's hurt. He's a little overworked, and he is just the core of that team. And when you have your core of your team that's just pretty tired and fatigued like that, it makes it a little hard to rally around him.
All right, so I could talk about Yadier Molina all show, man. Why'd you have to bring that up right now? I almost want to go out on a limb and say he's the greatest defensive catcher of all time, not just because of the balls that he stops, but because of the runners that don't even try to steal a base or to get too far off first base because of him. Yadier's throw is so quick, so accurate, and so fast. He's revolutionized the defensive catcher position, and doing it all while being consistent, being healthy, and for the most part, being an offensive weapon, being in the middle of that lineup every day. Okay, we're going to go. I don't care if you want to or not. We're going to ask some NBA questions. I'm going to ask you an NBA question from every team. Are you ready? I don't care.
No, I'm not.
Okay,
my NBA knowledge is pretty sparse, so nobody should be expecting a good answer for
this
segment.
Yeah, I wasn't anyway. Does Jimmy Butler stay a Bull this offseason?
I would say yes. I actually have been I've been watching a little bit of their game today, and he seems like one of those five tool players. Him and Rondo work really well together, so I think they're going to keep him.
I love that you use the baseball reference in the basketball question. All right,
it's a catch-all term. It's five tools.
Absolutely.
There's five tools in every sport, I'm sure. Yeah.
Totally. All right, we're gonna get this going as quick as we can. Time's running out a little bit here. Can the Celtics be a legitimate playoff contender with only one superstar?
No, I don't think anyone could be a contender with only one superstar in this age.
Can the Warriors win a champion? Can the Warriors share the ball amongst themselves?
Yeah, I think they have been doing a good job of that this season. I think it was pretty rough at first when Durant first got there, but I think they adjusted to that really well.
Can the Trailblazers give the Warriors a scare? Is Damian Lillard one of the top 5 point guards in the league?
I don't know. I think the Blazers still have a little bit of growing to do, and they gotta improve a little bit more before they can take on the Warriors.
In the Hawks-Wizards series, there's a clear line of the Hawks having powerful forwards and the Wizards having powerful guards. If you're an NBA coach, which would you rather have, forwards or guards?
Guards. Guards. They, you got to have your guys up top running the game, I think.
Does Paul George join the Lakers?
Ah, man, I hope not. I don't know. I like him as a Pacer.
For the Cavaliers to win the championship for the second year in a row, who's got to be the best player this summer?
I think Kevin Love really has to be their best player. When he's playing well, it seems like everyone benefits from it.
Last night he had 27, 11, and 3 assists. Is Kawhi Leonard the best player in the league?
All around? Yeah, I would say he is.
I like it.
His defense is really what I think brings him over the top. You know, offensively, he's probably not the best, but I think as in terms of a well-rounded player in general, he is probably the best.
Will Vince Carter ever be too old to dunk?
No. Next question.
Is Giannis Antetokounmpo a player that you can give a set position to, or is he just a basketball player?
He's just a basketball player. He could do anything.
Five tools, right?
He sets his mind to.
Five tools.
Five tool. Six tool. Who cares? Seven tool.
Can the Raptors attract a legitimate free agent to try to make a run at the Cavs?
No.
Is basketball in Utah ever going to be exciting, or will they just play defense until the end of time?
That's a great question. I can't really answer that.
Because nobody watches Utah basketball. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I would say no.
All right. Will the Clippers ever win a playoff series with Chris Paul?
Gosh, I hope so. They're really fun to watch. I think they will. They've got too much talent to not win something. I don't know if they're ever going to be making a run to championship, but they're going to win something.
All right, Taylor, thank you so much for your time. I ran a little bit over, but you know what? It was for a good cause. You're listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene, and I'm Tim Rocky, 89.5 FM.